All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Tuesday morning. Oh, I hope I didn't. Hold on. All right. So once again, good morning, everybody. Good morning. This week is Holy Week. Okay. We are focusing on the resurrection because we know that the White House, what they're doing to portray their version of Jesus and what really happened in the Holy Week. So we are doing the true version of what happened to Jesus on Holy Week. So yesterday we focused on the one aspect, but today we're going to focus on Jesus being the high priest. Okay. Because when Jesus died on the cross, an amazing thing happened. And it means that the veil was torn. In an epic way, if you could have a vision in your head about Jesus being on the cross and how there was the earthquake and then the veil was torn, right? So we understand that there was no more temple. There was no more purpose of a temple, a physical temple anymore. This is what makes it so sad about the modern day evangelicals and stuff that are partnering with the Orthodox Jews that are wanting to do sacrifices. You know, we just can't even fathom that, you know, because Jesus, that would do away with the whole purpose of him dying. You see what I mean? Because Jesus said in 3 days, I'm going to tear this temple down. And so when he died, the veil was torn. Now the veil is what separated us from God. And there was a high priest from the tribe of the Levites that would go in once a year on behalf of the people and talk to God. But it was only to cover. It was not to forgive. And so the epic moment of him up on the cross as our high priest is a big deal. I mean, he is the mediator for us. You know, thus we don't need to go to a priest and do confession, you know. But we can actually have access to God because that veil was torn. So, let's talk about, first of all, if y'all have your books, all of you that was in Bible college, turn in your tabernacle workbook to page 23 is where I'm going to be reading out of. First, we're going to talk about the high priest wardrobe. What does it mean for a person to be in a high priest position? Okay. Now, on the high priest, when you consider the clothing, on the head was a turban with a gold plate. Okay. And then he had onyx stones on his shoulders. He had a breastplate with Urim and Thummim. He had an ephod on over his chest, like a breastplate of righteousness. He had a sash and a robe and bells and pomegranates and a tunic. So he, you know, when he went in there, if he was not right with God, he would fall over dead and then they would have to drag him out. But let's talk about on the next page, on page 24, about the high priest. The high priest's breastplate, the 12 tribes of Israel, and descriptions of the 12 stones. Okay, the Zebulun tribe was beryl. It was a light red color. Issachar was topaz. It was yellow. Judah was ruby and dark red. Gad was diamond and gray. Simeon was sapphire and blue. Reuben was emerald and green. Benjamin was amethyst purple. Manasseh was agate and gray striped. Ephraim was jacinth and orange. Naphtali was jasper and brown. Asher was onyx and black. Dan was graselite and blue-green. The stones on the breastplate bore the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were not exactly the same as the 12 sons of Jacob. Neither Levi nor Joseph had a tribe name for them. Two tribes were named for Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, bringing the total tribes to 12, the same as the number of Jacob's sons. The breastplate bearing the precious stones was worn over the high priest's heart. Isn't that beautiful? Onyx stones have a translucent and opaque marbled quality and came in shades of white, cream, and natural earth tones. No complete description of design of the Urim and Thummim or how they were used are given in Scripture. The first high priest was Aaron, the brother of Moses. It was to be an inherited office passed on through his sons. The book of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy contain detailed instructions for the duties of the high priest and other priests serving in the tabernacle. The Old Testament books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and many of the prophets record the activities of the priest and the high priest throughout history. The Levites, Numbers 8, 5-26, describes the setting apart of the Levites, and chapter 18 describes the duties of the priest and the Levites. One of the special duties of the Levites was to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua 3:3, 1 Samuel 6:15, 2 Samuel 15:24, and 1 Kings 8:4. Let's talk about the ephod. The ephod had two onyx stones inscribed with the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. Were set in gold and fastened on the shoulder pieces of the ephod. You know why that is so cool? Because when we studied the tabernacle and we saw how they built the Ark of the Covenant and how they built the altar, remember God said, put two rings on the side so that the long stick can go through there that would be like 30 foot long. And then this stick that would fit through the rings is what these priests would carry on their shoulders. So when they walked, they would have on their shoulders the Ark of the Covenant. So it's pretty cool that now God has placed it within a stone, the names of the tribes of Israel on the shoulders. Like, you're bearing the weight of my people. I mean, it's pretty symbolic. And then when you think about all of the, you know, even in Brock's book, he talks about it, all of the different rubies in heaven and the diamonds and, you know, all of the different pearls. I mean, look at the gates. The pearly gates, you know. It's just amazing how God does that. Let's talk about the priests and the Levites. The tribe of Levi was chosen by God to be set apart for religious service. The Torah describes their duties. The priests, Kohanim, were a special group of Levites. They were descendants of Aaron, Israel's first high priest. The priests offered sacrifice on Israel's behalf. The Levites took care of the temple. Now think about this, all that you're reading, because this is Jesus. Think about it. He is now taking the role of the high priest. Thus, he is taking care of the modern children of Israel. Everyone. Jesus, our high priest, the Levitical priest, served temporarily, but Jesus is our priest forever. The writer of Hebrews assures us that because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood and is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Hebrews 7:24-25. The high priest in the New Testament. In the Gospels, the high priest is mentioned as presiding over the plot, arrest, and inquisition of Jesus prior to his crucifixion. Priests are mentioned when Jesus healed the lepers and sent them to the priest to be declared clean. Matthew 8 and Mark 1. Zechariah was named as a priest serving in the temple. Luke 1:5-25. Jesus included a priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10. The high priest listened to charges against the apostles and granted Saul an arrest warrant for Christians, Acts 4:5, 7, and 9. The high priest listened to Paul's testimony, Acts 22-25. The book of Hebrews is full of references to Jesus as our high priest. Hebrews 2:17, 3:1, 4:14-15, 5:10, 6:19-20, and 9:11. Okay, now high priest in the Old Testament served God in the tabernacle and later in the temple. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews refers to Jesus Christ as our high priest. Using the list of traits below, okay, hold on. Now, Jesus never physically set foot in the tabernacle. It was replaced by the temple in Jerusalem about 1,000 years before his birth. The Bible records Jesus' visits to the temple beginning with the first week of his life on earth and ending with the week of his death. Every recorded visit demonstrated his deity and his mission as Messiah. Anna and Simeon recognized him as Messiah, and the teachers in the temple were amazed at his godly wisdom. Okay, so all right. So I want to point out some other things about his garment. Okay. The stones on the breastplate were ruby, emerald, and topaz on the top row. A carbuncle, sapphire, and quartz crystal on the second. A jacinth, agate, and amethyst on the third. And a chrysolite, onyx, and opal on the bottom. Each represented one of the tribes of Israel, with their names engraved on the stones. Isn't that beautiful again? Now, remember the sermon that we did a couple of weeks ago called The Fine Linen? Well, the tunic was fine linen tunic. The garment that would touch the high priest's body was known as the priestly tunic and was made of pure linen. The white material would reach the neck and it would be visible under the robe of the ephod as sleeves and a section at the feet. The priest would also wear the tunic, but only the high priest version would be embroidered. Isn't that amazing? Hold on just a second here. Hold on just a second here. All right, hold on just a second. Okay. The ephod, the breastplate would sit on an equally elaborate apron like garment called an ephod. There is an ongoing debate about exactly what it was, but the Bible describes it as being made of the same material as the breastplate. It had two shoulder pieces containing golden rings that would affix to the breastplate. Huh, kind of like the Ark of the Covenant, huh? Carrying the Ark of the Covenant. With the ephod held together by a girdle fastened at the front. The high priest would wear a robe underneath the ephod. It was sky blue in color and reference to heaven. I kind of see that too with Jesus, the way that they did the veil. And I know one of the Bible college students brought this up as well, how there was only one door that came into the tabernacle, and that was material. And this was the color of it. It had this color of blue. It was like purple, blue, and scarlet. And it's kind of like you have to go through that. It's pretty cool. The sky blue in color in reference to heaven, as well as a woven collar. The bottom of the garment had tiny veils made of pure gold and pomegranate-shaped tassels in blue and purple and scarlet. The bells would be heard when the high priest was ministering. Bare feet. The entire ensemble symbolizes atonement for the sin of bloodshed on part of the children of Israel, except for the underwear, which was purely for modesty and contained no openings. A high priest's feet would be bare, however, allowing them to touch the ground of God. Now, I have to say this. When I was on the road, and I did the 2017 tour, and God had me pray over all them cities, God showed me so much about praying over cities, but there was those six cities that he had me pray over, and he told me, I want you to take your feet off, your shoes off. He wanted me grounded to the ground, to the natural earth. And that's what I did when I prayed. So it's interesting it says this. A high priest's feet would be bare, however, allowing them to touch the ground of God. Claims that a rope would be tied to the high priest's ankle so that his body could be pulled out should he be killed by God in the Holy of Holies are not thought to be true. What? I disagree with them. I believe that's true. Okay, the ephod. The breastplate would sit on... I read that. The priestly. A rectangular breastplate containing 12 precious stones across four rows was worn across the heart. The fabric itself was made from gold, fine twisted linen, and yarns dyed tekelet, purple, and scarlet. There is a fold within the Urim and the Thummim, literally translated as lights and perfections were placed. It's not known exactly what these two objects were, but they were a way of receiving revelation from God. It's so interesting, isn't it? The golden crown was placed over the high priest's fine linen mitre and extending toward both ears, the priestly crown. Excuse me. The priestly crown was a pure golden headplate engraved with the words "Holiness to the Lord," held in place by two tied blue straps. By wearing it, the high priest would atone for the sin of arrogance on behalf of the children of Israel and show his intellectual devotion to God. Isn't that cool? So another thing I would like to present about the armor that they would wear as a high priest. We discovered one day on our Bible study that this is actually what the full armor of God is. It is not what we thought it was, you know, where it was like the Roman soldier is the way that we thought it was before, but it's actually the priestly garment. We are priests. He says we are kings and priests. Okay. So I would like to read you another gentleman's perspective of what this high priest, the glory of the high priest, in an article that he wrote. I would like to read what his interpretation is as well. Let me silence my phone. Hold on. All right. This gentleman's name is Wes White. Okay. He says, the high priest teaches as much about God, the world, humans as God created them, Jesus, and the restored humanity of Christ. All of this is worth reflecting on in detail. On the shoulder straps, the priest would have onyx stones, and on these onyx stones, an engraver would engrave the names of the tribes of Israel. Thus, the high priest is to bear the names on his shoulder as a memorial before the Lord. Exodus 28:12. The high priest would not only wear the names of Israel on his shoulders, but he would wear them over his heart. On the breastplate, he bore 12 different types of stone that each represented the tribes of Israel. The workers would engrave the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on the stones. In this way, whenever the high priest enters the holy place, he would bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breastplate of decision as a continuing memorial before the Lord. Exodus 28:29. What is the significance of this? I think this is especially fulfilled in Christ. He is our great high priest who carries the names of his people on his heart before his Father. We should think of Jesus as the one who has us on his heart and written on his hands. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands, Isaiah 49:16. As the author of Hebrews writes, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them, Hebrews 7:25. This should afford us tremendous comfort and joy. We have an advocate before the very throne of God who will not fail to pray for us and to seek our good, Jesus. So, this morning, as we're examining the resurrection coming up on Sunday, let's consider our high priest. He is a man that is really God that came down to the earth as a lamb to give his life for his people, to go through the test of being human, which he was tested in all ways, and he passed the test. And then he's the door. Remember studying the tabernacle, the veil, he's the door. He says, I am the door, Revelation 3:20. Okay, so he's the door, and he is our priest, because when he died, the veil was torn, and now he opened up the door for us to have access to God. So Jesus is our high priest, and we're so very thankful that because of the sacrifice that he made, he has opened the door for all of us to be kings and priests in his kingdom. See? So, when we think about it on Sunday, you know, about the resurrection day, let's consider Jesus is our high priest. And something else I want us to think about is the physical tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle was lost and then they built a temple. But when Jesus died and the veil was torn, the temple was gone. Some people say, I have to go back to Hebrew roots because Jesus did all their feasts and he went to their temple. So I'm just going to do what Jesus did. But what they're missing is the whole point of Jesus, the whole big point. The point was Jesus went to their, he was in their culture. That is what their culture did. And he was ministering to them and telling them, I am the Messiah. I'm the one that's came to set you guys free, you know, and I take you above the law. I go to the heart, to the motive, you know, he brought the grace. So that those people would be able to live it. You know, and then he says, I have to go so that the Holy Spirit can now come. The third part of the Trinity, who was revealed by fire. The fire that was over their heads when they was waiting in the upper room after Jesus left. The high priest left and went up into heaven. And granted authority, the priestly robe, to us as a church, see, by the Holy Spirit. The temple went from an outside temple to an inside temple. Now he is within. Now the Holy Spirit is within. The Holy Spirit helps us to achieve what God wants us to achieve. You see what I mean? So on Sunday, when you're reflecting on Jesus, think about him being our great high priest. You know, and how he represented us and how he truly gave his life in the priestly office. You know, and the veil was torn, so we now have access to God. Isn't he good? So I'm going to stop the recording. God bless. Hold on.